And we'll turn to the seventh chapter together, Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. We'll begin our reading in verse number 6. The Bible says in verse 6, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chose you because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he hath sworn unto your fathers, and hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face. To destroy them he will not be slack; to him that hateth him he will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments, and the statutes, and the judgments, which I command thee this day to do them." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word that you've given to us and the opportunity that we have to come together here this morning and to worship your name, for you truly are worthy. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have, Lord, to open your word and to learn principles and truths about who you are, but also about who we are. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to take what we've learned from your word here this morning and to apply it to our lives. Help us, Lord, to not just be a hearer of your word, but also to be a doer. And may you be glorified. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue through another year and we are several weeks into 2024, you know, it seems that the only thing that is constant in our world today is that everything is changing. Everything is different. You know, sometimes change can bring growth, and sometimes change can bring improvement into our life, and other times change can bring fear and instability. You know, I just think that we're living in a world today that is drastically different than a world 50 years ago. I mean, things are continually changing. I think on the technology basis, things are changing from 8-tracks to cassettes to CDs. I remember when I was in elementary school, I used the 8-inch floppy disks, and then we upgraded to the 3.5 floppy disks, and then that switched to CDs, and then DVDs, and now all of those are just, they're just history. I mean, now we have flash drives and now we have the cloud. Everything's in the cloud. Where is the cloud? No one knows where that cloud is, but everything seems to be there. You know, I first purchased my first computer when I was about 12 years old, and I remember it came with an encyclopedia CD, and I thought it was just amazing that all of those volumes of the encyclopedia were on that one CD. And now if I told you I had an encyclopedia on CD, you would laugh at me. I mean, that's not even relevant anymore. Everything is on the World Wide Web. Everything seems to be changing financially. Prices continually skyrocket. Prices are going up. I mean, it's hard to heat our homes now. It's hard to buy groceries now. Things are changing. And we think socially. I mean, there was a time when a man's word was his bond. And now, you know, that's not the case. We see in our world today the problems socially and how things have evolved. We think religiously as well. Things are changing. Many churches, in attempt to accommodate the society and the changing world, are teaching less doctrine, not going to the Bible, trying to entertain. And yet, when we look over human history and all the things that are changing around us, there is one truth that we must remember, and that is no matter how our world changes or how much our world changes, God remains the same. He is always the same. He never changes. Missionary statesman Hudson Taylor had complete trust in God's faithfulness. In his journal, he wrote these words, "Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect he will send 3 million missionaries to China, but if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them all. Depend on it," he wrote, "God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply." When we consider the truth this morning that God is a faithful God, we also have to understand the truth that God never changes. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not," the Bible says. "Therefore the sons of Jacob are not consumed." When God makes a promise, God always keeps his promise. We can trust in his word. And here in our text, in verse number 9, Moses reminds us that the Lord thy God, he is God. He is Jehovah God. He is the creator God. He is the all-powerful God, but he is also the faithful God. Notice it there in our text. He is the faithful God. Human nature cannot be relied on. We cannot trust how we feel. We cannot trust our emotions. The Bible says our heart is evil and our heart is misleading. But we can trust in God whose faithfulness upholds the world at this very moment in time. God is a faithful God. Lamentations, let's turn there. This is a familiar passage. Lamentations chapter 3 in our Bibles. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 21. Notice what the Bible says in our text here. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21. The Bible says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Now that passage of scripture is connected to Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And Jeremiah said the same thing. He said, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." God is a faithful God. One day Spurgeon was walking through the English countryside with a friend, and as they strolled along, the evangelist noticed a barn with a weather vane on the roof. On the top of the vane were the words, "God is love." And C.H. Spurgeon remarked to his companion that he thought that this was rather inappropriate, an inappropriate place to put such a message. Weather vanes, he said, are changeable, but God's love is constant. God's love never changes. And his friend replied, "I don't agree with you about those words, Charles. You misunderstood the meaning. The sign is indicating an important truth. Regardless of which way the winds blow, God is always love." And no matter which way the winds are blowing in your life, no matter what is happening in our world, no matter the difficulties, wars and rumors of wars, pestilence and hard times, no matter what takes place worldwide or personally in your life, the struggles, the difficulties that you have, no matter how you feel or what you think, no matter what the devil whispers in your ear, I'm here to tell you, God loves you and that never changes. God is a faithful God. He's a constant God, and we can rely on him. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 73, verse 26, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Someone said, on the whole, God's love for us is a much safer subject to think about than our love for him. In other words, God's faithfulness to us is a lot better than our faithfulness to him. God never changes. He is always the same. And I want to look at some truths here from the book of Deuteronomy about who God is and who we are, and maybe a reminder to us in these days who God is to help us. Number one, if you're taking notes, would you write this? God is faithful in his personality. God is faithful in his personality. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9 in our text says this, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. We understand from this text that the personality of God is reliable. It is reliable. Isaiah 46 verse 9 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me." You see, when Moses was considering the attributes of God in Deuteronomy chapter 7, it was the character of God that gave him confidence. God never changes. God is a covenant-keeping God. God will keep his oath. God cannot lie. God is the faithful God. And we see that God is truthful. He's truthful. He keeps his word. Psalm 119, verse 160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Now, the New Testament reminds us of the very character of God. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, the Bible says it is impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. I mean, chew on that for just a moment. God always keeps his word. You know, if you're driving and you come to a sign, and that sign says something like this, "Dangerous curve ahead." You know, when you look at that sign, you only have three choices to make. You have a decision, and here are your three options. Number one, you could slow down. You could obey the sign. Number two, you could maintain your speed. You could ignore the sign. And number three, you could accelerate. You can hit the gas. You can defy the sign. And when we hear the word of God, we have a decision to make. We can hear the word of God. We can ignore the word of God. Or we could do the very opposite of what God says. We could defy what God has to say for our life. And that is true in our world today. There are those who obey the Bible. They make it a priority in their life. There are those who ignore the Bible. They don't care what God has to say, and they don't want to be confused with the truth. And there are others who will do the very opposite of what God tells them what to do. You know, the Bible isn't random thoughts thrown on a piece of paper. The Bible is incredible woven truths about God and about humanity. The Bible is promises that will be fulfilled and prophecies that have already been fulfilled. Look what the Bible says. Turn with me to 2 Peter and the first chapter. Could you turn there? 2 Peter chapter 1. And notice what the scripture says here in this passage of scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1. and verse number 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 19. The Bible says this in verse number 19. It says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." The Bible says that we have a confirmed prophetic word about Jesus Christ. Both Old and New Testament, the Bible has revealed to us who Jesus is. If we turn back to 1 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, just a few pages back here in verse number 12. The Bible says this in verse number 12 of the first chapter of 1 Peter, "Unto whom it was revealed, and not unto themselves, but also us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, the things the angels desire to look into." This is the prophetic word about who Jesus is, and it is a light that shines in darkness. And the Bible says this about the message, the gospel about Christ: "You do well if you take heed." You do well if you listen to what the Bible has to say. Romans 3 verse 4 says, "God forbid, yea, let God be true, and every man a liar." Deuteronomy 32 verse 4 says, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he." We see the Bible teaches us in his word that God is truthful, but also God is unchangeable. Unchangeable. We use the word immutability, the immutability of God. He is unchangeable. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." You say, what does it mean? It means that God is not like a yo-yo, up and down, but God is constant. God is always the same. Now, we can be like a yo-yo. We can be up and down. We can change our mind, but God is faithful. He's not double-minded. There's no variableness with God. There's no shadow of turning with God. God is a faithful God. He does not change. You see, secondly, if you're taking notes, would you write it down? Number two, he is faithful in his provision. He is faithful in his provision. Verse 8 says this, "But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." It has always been God's desire to meet the needs of his people. We go all the way back. Let's actually turn there. Let's go all the way back to the book of Exodus and the third chapter, if we could. Exodus chapter 3. And notice what the Bible says here in this passage of Scripture. Exodus chapter 3. We see that God is faithful in his personality, but God is also faithful in his provision. Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 13. The Bible says this, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am." And that's all God had to say. I am. I am. This expression, I am, is a declaration of his deity. I am. But it is also a declaration of his provision. I am whatever you need. I think about when they came into the Garden of Gethsemane to get Jesus, and they asked him in John chapter 18, are you Jesus of Nazareth? And Jesus said, I am he. And the Bible says they fell to the ground. A declaration of his deity and his power, but also it is a declaration of his provision, because throughout the Bible we see the I ams of Jesus. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. God is the I am. He is our provider, and he meets our needs. God meets our needs. He meets our physical needs. And you know the provision that God gave the children of Israel in the wilderness. He gave them manna, he gave them water, he gave them raiment. But generally, God is the provider to the world. We think of our world today. God is the provider. Matthew 5, verse 45 says this, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. God is no respecter of persons, and an ungodly man's garden will grow the same as a righteous man's garden will grow. God is the provider. He's the provider of this world. Because of him, all things consist. In Genesis 8, verse 22, the Bible says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Shall not cease. It's going to continue. God has provided for this earth. God has given all that we need, and this planet annually produces enough food for the physical well-being of this world. And this, of course, is because of the faithfulness of God. God will provide our needs. I heard the story of an old preacher who was telling about, speaking of his grandfather. And this is what he said about his grandfather. He said he had a large family and a very small income. He loved the Lord, and he would not have given up his preaching of the gospel for anything, not even for an imperial crown. He was told, he has told me often how the Lord had provided for him. He had a little farm to get his living upon it, and he had a cow which he used to milk for his many children. And one day when he came up to the cow, it fell back with the staggards and died. Grandmother said, James, how will God provide for the dear children now? What shall we do for milk? Mother, he said, God said he would provide, and I believe that he would send us 50 cows if it pleased him. And so it happened that one day a number of gentlemen were meeting in London. Persons whom he did not know were sitting at a committee for the distribution for money for poor ministers, and they had given to all that had asked for it. My grandfather had never asked for any money. He liked to earn his own money. He did not send any petitions or appeal. Well, after the gentleman had distributed to all who had asked, there were £5 that were left over. And they were considering what they would do with the balance. One said, there is a man, a poor minister, who stands in need of £5. And all said another, don't send him £5. I'll put £5 to it. I know him. He's a worthy man. No, another said, don't send him £10. I will put another £5 if someone else will put £5 toward it. And the next morning came a letter to grandmother with 9 pence to pay. Grandmother did not like to pay out 9 pence for a letter, but there were £20 in it. And as my grandfather opened it, he said to my grandmother, now can't you trust God about an old cow? The reality is this, God will meet our needs. We have to trust in him. The psalmist said this, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I see not only the provision for physical needs, but God also provides our emotional needs. In verse number 8, the Bible says that God loves us, and love, of course, is more than just an emotion. It is an action of my will under the direction of the Lord. The Bible says in verse 8, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Because of God's love, the Bible says he delivered you. Of course, as we go to the New Testament, we have the wonderful chapter in John chapter 3. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm glad to be able to stand before you here this morning and proclaim that God loves us. And because God loves us, he delivered us. I'm glad that Jesus proved that love on the cross. And I'm glad that I can tell other people that God loves them also, because the Bible says that God loves the world. Speaking of the children of Israel in Jeremiah 31 verse 3, the Bible says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. God will meet our emotional needs. He is on our side. He loves us and cares about us. I heard the story of a little girl's mom who had died of cancer, and she was scared at night, and so she crawled into bed with her dad, and she grabbed his face and said, Daddy, is your face toward me? And the dad said, yes, honey. And she said, okay, I can sleep now. Because of God's work, because of Christ, because of the cross, God's face is toward us. God loves us and cares about us. Psalm 22, verse 24, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he crieth unto him, he heard. God is on our side. And God loves us and he cares about us. And he wants to provide for our physical needs, our emotional needs. But of course, he wants to provide for our spiritual needs. Our spiritual substance comes from the word of God. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and are very faithful. God's word will fill us up. God's word will meet the needs of our heart. I think of the woman at the well. She had a spiritual need, and Jesus met that spiritual need. And today, if you have a spiritual need, Jesus can meet that need for you. He can help you today. Would you say yes to his work in your life? But lastly, and I'll be done, he is faithful in his promises. He is faithful in his personality. He is faithful in his provision. But he is also faithful in his promises. The Bible says in verse 9 of our text in Deuteronomy 7, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. He keepeth covenant, and he keepeth his promise. You know, I think when we think about the promises of God, we're reminded of his promise to save. And probably the most significant for us here today is the fact that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's a wonderful promise today, that God will always keep his word in Hebrews 7, verse 24. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We come to God through him, through Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that Jesus will save our soul, and he is an unchangeable priesthood. What a wonderful blessing. His salvation will not change. His promises are faithful. But we also see in the Bible his promise to keep us. To keep us. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Would you turn there? 2 Timothy chapter 1. And notice what the scriptures say. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. The Bible says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." The reality is, you can commit your soul to the Savior's trust. Think about everything today that you're committing to the care of other people. I mean, if you use a bank, you trust the bank. If you use insurance, you're trusting insurance. Friendships and relationships. We trust a lot of things in the hands of corporations and other people. But people will let us down. But God will never let us down. And you can place the care of your soul into the hands of the Good Shepherd, because he will never disappoint you. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 2, verse 28. He says, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls," the overseer and the protector of your souls. Put your soul in the hands of Jesus Christ. Call out to him to save you today. And the Bible says that he will. He will. You see, his promise to forgive in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a couple words there I want to highlight. First of all, he's faithful. That means he'll forgive us again and again and again. But also, he's just. It means he's justified. He has the authority, and only Jesus has the authority to forgive our sins. We are living in a changing world, but God is always the same. I'm thankful for his faithfulness today. He is faithful in his personality. He is faithful in his provision, and he is faithful in his promise. Would you abide in him today? Would you trust in him? If you're here and you're not a Christian, if you don't know where your eternal soul will go forever one day, then I hope today you'll make it right. I hope that you'll look to the Lord. Christian, God help us today to trust in a God who never changes. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your blessings and your goodness to us. We're grateful for your kindness that you have shown to us. And Lord, I pray if there's an individual here this morning that is not a Christian, I pray, Lord, that they would be saved today. I pray that they would indicate, that they would take steps, Lord, that they would make a decision for you. And I pray, Lord, as Christians, that you would help us to grow in our faith and our trust in you, to understand that you are a God who never changes, even in a changing world. We love you. We thank you for all that you've done. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, if we could, this morning. I'm so glad that you're here. I hope that you'll stay and have lunch with us. We'd love for you to join us, and we're going to have a service right after. We really don't have a time for the service to follow. When everyone's done lunch, we kind of just go right into the service. We'd love for you to stay and be a part of that. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, we're going to sing a song of invitation, and you could take steps forward, and I'll indicate and acknowledge you, and I'll have someone show you from a Bible how you can be saved.